there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed...
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line. You heard it right there from Brent Musburger. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. We're going to be joined now by a Hall of Famer from behind the book at the South Point. Maybe ironic, maybe it's perfect, Michael, because we were just talking to the Bear, and the Bear had texted the gentleman who runs the race and sports book there at the South Point, that being Chris Andrews. He said, what's going on with this number with Philly? You're not going to three, even though everybody's betting the Eagles. One of Chris Andrews' co-workers joins us now. I call you a co-worker. You're a Hall of Famer. He is Vinny Maliulo. So let's talk there. Let's start there. It's 2.5. Is everybody at the South Point laying it with the Eagles, and why have you not moved to three? Hi, Vinny.
What do you say? Well, we did actually go to three briefly.
You did?
I think it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, you know, testing the waters, and you have time to test the waters now, you know, particularly on a Thursday or a Friday. And the three was as expected a take. So... but if you retrace the betting, right, 1.5 on the opener, laid 1.5, laid 2.5 for the better part of, Tuesday, Wednesday, part of Thursday, went to 3, and as expected, there was buyback there. So, listen, from our side of the counter, you're looking for that threshold where you're going to get some buyback. Wasn't a surprise with such a key number that we did. And now back to 2.5. So we'll see how the weekend progresses, and the betting will start picking up even more tonight, right, as people start arriving in town for the weekend. This will be an enormous betting weekend. These two games are typically heavily bet anyway, but now you've got four teams that have been very popular over the last couple of years, very popular this year, whether it was they were bet on or bet against. The games involving the 49ers, the Eagles, the Bengals, and the Chiefs always had high volume of wagering. And now that they are the feature teams in the Final Four, that is only going to be amplified as we get closer to and on Sunday.
Since all the money is coming in, Vinny, on Philly, Chris Andrews indicated to Chris Felica that they're not. You don't mind riding it with San Francisco, is in terms of you feel like, as you open this up, you think it's a 1.5-point game, so you think the betting public has moved it, but your risk on San Francisco you don't find as an alarming, even though the money's all for San Francisco.
More of the money on the Eagles, Michael. But again, because there's a couple of factors, right? So you have time. Look, the fact of the matter is, if you got a team like the Niners who are on such an incredible roll going for you, that's not a bad thing either, right? I mean, you know, we'd ultimately like to have a situation where we're going to win on either side. That doesn't always happen. But the other part of it is, too, you can mitigate that risk. What is your position on futures, right? So you take that into consideration because that's going to come into play. That gets posted, right? The conference futures for the season. You've got proposition bets, and then you can help mitigate your exposure on some proposition bets. What proposition bets would those be? Point spread props, right? Maybe it's the Niners at -3.5 +220, or the Niners, how about the Niners +7.5 at -280? So there's other ways that we can, really mitigate that risk. But the fact of the matter is, these are the four of the five best teams during the course of the year going head to head. You're going to have a couple of them going for you. There's worse positions to be in. And by the way, you've still got the end game. End game won't get you off of any exposure, but it could help mitigate that risk along with all the props. And of course, look, we've still got 2 days of betting to go here. So, and then there's the money line. You're going to get somebody, it's going to be a lot easier too to attract 49ers money line action too. Right now we're sitting at $1.50. Let's say we needed, to take a bet on the Niners on the money line. If they're not taking $1.35 right now, well, perhaps they'll take $1.40. So maybe we go to $1.60. We'll see.
Boy, you are good, Maliulo. You are good. Vinny Maliulo joins us here on the Lombardi Line. Have you recovered? We're talking conference championship weekend, of course, and we'll get to the Chiefs hosting the Bengals. Have you recovered from America's tease last week with the Chiefs and the Eagles? Everybody was teasing those two teams down on that Saturday.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the Chiefs was a monster teaser. Professionals got involved a little bit with, taking a couple of touchdowns, better than a couple of touchdowns with the Jags. But we needed the Jags to cover the number. That was the key game for the weekend. But believe it or not, there was pretty much two-way action on the Eagles game, and there was quite a bit of money on the Giants on the side, and then quite a bit of money with Giants teasers at +14.5. So the key game for the house last week was the 49ers. There was a lot of exposure going to the Cowboys. The Cowboys had were backed on the money line. They were backed with the point spread, and where that game fell last weekend, guys, as the fourth game, everything that was alive was going to it. So the key was for us last weekend was the Jags covering the number, and then the Niners winning and covering in the last game on Sunday.
Vinny, what so far has been the most popular prop bet? I know you put a bunch of them out. What's been the most popular one people seem to have gravitated to?
So far, Michael, and again, these just came out yesterday. People like point spread props, as I mentioned earlier. So maybe you like the Niners at better than 2-1. You think they're going to win the game and cover. Maybe you're going to lay 3.5 with them. But people love point spread. I mean, player props. When you get to these two games, and of course the Super Bowl, which we'll have 4 or 5 times as many. Then you're going to get statistics, total touchdown passes thrown by, let's say Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts over and under 1.5. You've got rushing yardage, reception yardage, but the one that gets still and one of the oldest props that we've put up is the player to score the game's first touchdown. And, yeah. You look at Christian McCaffrey at 6-1. He's going to get a lot of support. Jalen Hurts at it's just almost at when you look at him at almost at 8-1. So, it's there's some pretty nice prices out there on these. But those two, in these games, the player to score the first game's first touchdown, which is one of the early props that we put up 35 years ago, that ever since then has been one of the most popular props that we ever put up.
I want to follow up on that. In the proliferation of props, when I started betting, props weren't really a thing, Michael and Vinny. And now you see new bettors and new people coming into the betting space talking about, I'm the prop king, I'm the prop queen, I'm the prop cousin, I'm the prop uncle, you know, branding. But Vinny, maybe you could walk us backwards a little bit. You know, these props, they really started getting popular over the last decade, not necessarily much earlier than that.
Well, you know, I listen, of course, I can remember when, you know, we would put these games up. You had the game, you had the total, you put up a halftime. And then, you know, there you go, back to Michael's original question about exposure, right? You had so much exposure, you're winning and, you know, living and dying for over 3 hours with one decision or just a couple of decisions. So we walk back and you go, okay, how do we help ourselves and how do we create more interest in the game? And really it was about, you know, being creative and saying, well, listen, wouldn't it be neat to do this? You know, wouldn't it be neat to say who's going to score the game's first touchdown? Who's going to, what kind of position props? I remember too, when we finally got to like a dozen props in, Super Bowl, 22, which was following up on that tremendous prop, which we still talk about in Super Bowl 20. Will William the Refrigerator Perry score a proposition bet? You know, fridge to score a prop. It was a one-way prop, by the way, and, you know, at 50 to 1. And it was not, you know, Willie or won't he. It was just fit. And believe me when I tell you, it closed at less than 5 to 1. I mean, that's how I think, again, I'll say this now and I'll say it in 2 weeks. There's places that are still paying that prop. Trust me when I tell you, that's how popular that was. So, we learned some lessons, but people realized, look, you know what? How do we keep interested in the game? And the other part is, guys, let's remember, there were some Super Bowls that were just blowouts, right? So people would stop watching. But now with props, you're in the game the whole time. You may your game and total, your point spread, your money line, it may be, you know, pretty much determined, let's say, you know, by the fourth quarter. But your props are alive the entire way because of the statistical element of them and, you know, whether or not a player has to, you know, if you got somebody to go over or under or to score or whatever the case may be, last team to score. So, while a game may be out of reach, props are always within reach for the most part, and that's what keeps people's interest, and that's what's really driven a lot of business. And in some cases, guys, when it comes to the Super Bowl, some places will have 60 to 65% of their Super Bowl handle on prop bets, which is obviously a lot more, significantly more than the game itself.
Yeah, I'm not dismissing props because it's an opportunity to profit, nor am I dismissing or minimizing anybody that bets props. It's an awesome opportunity to find a hole in the market. It's just every year you just add to the sheet of the options of props. It's really gotten unbelievable. Okay, Vinny Maliulo joining Michael Lombardi and myself here on the Lombardi Line. When we come back, Cincinnati and Kansas City, it's been a roller coaster ride as far as that number because of an ankle. We'll discuss it with Vinny next here on the Lombardi Line.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey,
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks, also the sponsor for years here of The Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network. Visit BetMGM.com, download the BetMGM app. If you're in town hanging out with Vinny, go to an MGM property, bring your state issued ID, and ready to bet within minutes. 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Michael Lombardi there. It is The Lombardi Line. I'm Patrick Maher. Vinny Maliulo, Hall of Famer from behind the book at the South Point, joins us here on The Lombardi Line. He's turned into Mike Palm during the break. He's turning the channels on the TVs, rightfully so. As we welcome you back, want to follow up on a point on the props. The variance from book to book is very important to note. You can find, I mean, these numbers vary so dramatically, Vinny. You want to follow up on that?
Yeah, it's a good point, Patrick. So, and again, with the popularity of propositions, there's a few things you want to pay attention. Like everything else, you want to shop, right? If you're looking to bet the the Niners, as we were talking about, let's say in the first portion, are you going to be able to bet them plus three? You got to find out and see who is willing to go to three, and when it gets to three, and then when it does, boom, it's going to go quick. Don't hesitate. So there's that aspect of it. Just like and props are the same way. Shop for prop prices. And what you think. So, for instance, let's look at Christian McCaffrey. We're using 57.5 for his rushing yards in the game. Now, this is rushing yards. Make sure you understand. Is it rushing yards? It's not combined yards. So what is the prop? Understand it. Does somebody else have another prop up, or is this the same prop, and is there a variance? Is there a 4 or 5 yard variance somewhere else, either higher or lower? And a lot of professionals will look for that. And as numbers move, it's not unusual for them to try to middle them. You know, we talk about middling games sometime. Sometimes, players try to middle props and do things like that. So you want to shop for prices on props the same way you shop for prices on games. And the other thing is, what are the stipulations? I'll go back to the prop that we talked about, which is extremely popular and has been for decades, player to score the game's first touchdown. Well, what if a player doesn't play? Well, know what the stipulation is. Are all bets action? So the way we always encourage, know what the house rules are. Also know what stipulations are. And so in our case here for the game's first touchdown, player must play at least one snap on offense, defense, or special teams for action. Clear, right there. Player gets in the game, you've got action, okay? Because a lot of times people say, well, this didn't happen or it did, and I should get a refund. Well, know what the stipulations are before you make the bet so that there's no confusion after the fact. And by the way, a little public service announcement, give a little time after the game. Just like in NASCAR, they have the inspection after the race, and it could take a couple of hours to get to the official winner, because that's what we're going to pay on. Give time for the statistics to be reviewed and verified through NFL.com. And so that, we get an accurate posting of what these statistics are.
You know, Vinny, I think what you have to do if you're going to play player props is visualize the game how you think it's going to go. Like for me, I think Philly's got to throw the ball to run the ball. I think everybody's going to get caught up in Miles Sanders' prop. But, you know, the 49ers are hard to run the ball on. And if you just go back and look at the Tennessee game where they only ran for 63 yards, but Hurts threw for 300, I mean, that seems to be the way I think Philly's got to attack San Francisco. So I would be more inclined to look at Hurts' passing numbers, attempts, completions, than I would be looking at, the running stats, because I think they're going to throw to run. San Francisco, on the other hand, I think it's the same thing. I think they're going to try to utilize their passing stats. I would think Debo's going to carry the ball probably more in this game than you might think because of McCaffrey's injury. So I think you got to visualize the game in your head in terms of strategy before you play the props.
Great point, Michael. I mean, again, look at Miles Sanders, right? We're using 50.5 rushing yards in a game. And conversely, to your point about Jalen Hurts, 21.5 completions, 249.5 yards. And we put that half in there. We want a determination, right? Because if it falls right on the number, we don't want to, you know, refund it. So there's definitely an element to that. That's a good point by you. You're certainly, if you're going to, you know, you're making a determination on the game. Well, the same thing, you know, how the game's going to play out, how teams are going to go about their business, then that's the same approach or a similar approach that you want to take for player props. Good point.
I want to, Michael, I want to give you these quickly over at DraftKings. Pass attempts for both Purdy and Hurts. So their props are set at, Purdy is set at 31.5, and Hurts is set at 32.5 for pass attempts. I don't know if anything jumps out about those two numbers, 31.5 for attempts on Purdy, 32.5 for attempts on Hurts.
So if you think he's attempted it 32 times, you figure he's going to complete, you know, there are going to be some easy throws. You know, I would rather go with the completion. Like, I like that 21.5 number. I'd go over that number that Vinny just said for Hurts. I like that number better.
And Purdy, by the way, is 19.5 for completions. Is that where you are as well, Vin?
Purdy, yeah, 19.5. Yep. 19.5. And again, I think what you want to factor into Michael's point too is, you know, which one of these two quarterbacks is the better runner, right? And it's certainly Jalen Hurts. So is that going to factor into that particular statistical element as well? That's part of the breakdown that Michael was referring to.
You got to throw it against San Francisco. You're not going to make a living running it. But what you got to be careful is some of those throws that Philly will make in this game are really runs, and you got to make sure statistically they don't count as runs. It's what Vinny said about you got to wait till the race is over, because sometimes those bubbles are really runs. They count them as runs if they're thrown behind the line.
Okay, I want to get to the machinations of this Kansas City. Since who would you say, by the way, it's three Hall of Famers, Chris Andrews, Jimmy Vaccaro, and you, Vinny Maliulo, who would you say is the best runner of the three? Like, if you guys had to go out and race from behind the book there, who would
the best runner?
Kidding. Play with me, Vinny. Play with me a little bit.
Okay, I'll play with you. Well, because I'll tell you right now, you know that you're asking that question because you know that I go out running a few times every week, and you know those guys, you know, they. But we're also more inclined to bet on horses than each other, so.
Horses for courses, and yes, you are svelte. We know you run. Okay, so I think most, did you get up to 2.5 with Cincinnati on Tuesday? Because now we've flipped over to 1.5 with the ankle news in Kansas City laying it.
Yeah, this has been, you talk about a roller coaster. Chiefs open 1, right? Got as high as the Bengals 2 when it, you know, or a couple of days, like about Tuesday or so, you know, because it looked like, you know, Mahomes was just getting treatment, just doing walkthroughs and things like that. You know, but now the reports coming out is that the treatment has been good. He's been doing a little bit more than walkthroughs and everything. And now you've got a situation where the Chiefs are 1.5. So it was going to happen in this game. I mean, and you're going to hear it for the better part of the weekend. Is the game going to be close? Yeah, very, very much a very strong possibility. What we don't want is either team to win the game by one. So, but right now the Chiefs are back to being favored. It's a 1.5. So more two-way action on this game than the NFC Championship game. They took one with the Bengals early, and again laid the Bengals all the way up to 2. In the early part of the week, but now back to the Chiefs at 1.5.
Vinny, how about the totals? Have you seen the totals move at all in either game?
You know, a little bit of surprise, Michael. I think initially, well, not too surprising, right? Where the Bengals, you know, that game opened 48 with the news about Mahomes coming out, then it went down to 46.5, but it's back up to 47.5 now. So again, people, they love points. They're betting the Niners game over too. That game opened 45.5. It's up to 46.5. When you get these types, this concentration of wagering, this high amount of wagering on these games, the public loves points. It goes and it ties directly into the props, right? The player props. Typically, they love to root for a particular player to be successful, and they love to root for points. Again, I oftentimes say, you know, those chants of defense, that's just for TV. Trust me, people love points.
If
If I said on Monday, when the dust settles, you're going to be dealing with a record handle on championship weekend there at the South Point, you calling me crazy, or do you think this is, I mean, these are two pretty good matchups. You could see a record handle.
That's no, I think that's a good point. It's a fair question, especially when you look at how the playoffs have been bet so far and how popular they've been, Patrick. You look at how our business continues to grow. You've got, as I mentioned in the opening part of the last segment, you've got four teams that have been so popular the last couple of years. And this year, whether they were bet on or bet against, the games involving the Niners, the Eagles, the Bengals, and the Chiefs are some of the highest handled games of the year. During the course of 18 regular season games and certainly during the playoffs. That's not going to change this week. And no, it would not shock me on Monday if we're talking about a record.
Vinny, real quick. Whoever gets these four teams, whoever gets there, will the line be over 3 for the Super Bowl or be under?
Probably not more than 3, Michael. But again, that second game and what the impression is with people, their last impression is going to have a lot to do with it. But I don't see it being through 3.
That was what I wanted to hear.
Andrews, Vaccaro, Maliulo, you got to lay 1,000 to win 100 on Maliulo on a race. We know that. Thank you, Vinny. We're coming back with
the Writer's
Spotlight next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, become a VSiN Pro. The Lombardi Look Ahead is there right now. If you do, it's VSiN.com/subscribe. Remember, introductory offer for $9.99 right now. You get the Pro Tools, Pro Picks, and Pro Tips. On top of the exclusive content, every day we'll send you handicapping, whether it's the hosts or the guest on the show. Everything that's handicapped on the network, we'll send them to you as part of the offer. So it's $9.99, VSiN.com/subscribe. Make sure you go check it out right now. Become a part of the VSiN team. Michael Lombardi there. I'm Patrick Maher. Great stuff from Vinny. Maybe you could say follow up on what you said to him, because I think it's very important how perceptive the betting market is when it's being set and then as the number adjusts when people bet into it.
Yeah, I think what Vinny, to me, the reason I asked that question is because I wanted to know if it was a clinical decision or if it was an emotional decision on some of these lines, and they combined both, right? So, you know, that's why we're seeing the Eagles so popular. They destroyed the Giants, right? San Francisco's in a dogfight, so that line kind of has inched, and we see a lot of people betting the Eagles. Perception kind of rules the general market, the general betting public, and I think that Vinny, when he said he has to wait until that final game before he sets a number, I mean, just say the Chiefs win 27-10. I mean, you know, whoever they play, they're going to open up as a strong favorite, so... But that doesn't mean that's the right number. That just means the book is anticipating these numbers, the people betting a certain way so they can get action on the both sides. You got to kind of play in between a little bit here.
Well put. It was a good question from you, a good answer from Vinny. Okay, let's hear from Mahomes on the ankle. So obviously you and I joked about it last week as we headed into this week. It was going to be the most discussed ankle of all time. Two days ago now, we saw the, you know, from practice and getting off the podium, he looked pretty good yesterday, even a little bit better. Here is Mahomes talking about that ankle.
Obviously, I feel like I can still do a lot of things, we'll see as we get closer and closer, and we'll see during the game. I mean, you can't fully do exactly what you're going to be in those moments in the game, but all I can do is prepare myself the best way possible. And then when we get in the game, you hope adrenaline kind of takes over and you can make those throws when you need to. But all I can do is just prepare my body the best way possible. I mean, I've seen the videos and everything like that of me walking. I don't know what you can really get from me walking. I think people will see on Sunday where I'm at, and I'll see on Sunday where I'm at. I'm just going to prepare my body the best way during the week to be in the best position possible.
What stands out to me, Michael, just quickly, and I'll let you follow up on it. What stands out to me is, like, what a blessing to an organization. Whenever he speaks, it's always the right thing. He's the best player in football, yet he's underrated. Like, it's just what he does for a city
and
organization
humble.
Is just incredible. And humble.
And he's so humble and such a great teammate. I mean, he is the reason they're so competitive as a team comes through him. I mean, that's where you generate your when your best player is the most competitive, you got a good team. When your most talented player is the most competitive and works the hardest, you got a good team. That's what you ultimately reach for. That's what you want. That's sports, right? So then everybody else feeds off that. When your best player is lazy, doesn't get up and down the court quickly, always out of shape, this is what you get into. That's another situation we'll talk about later. Anyway, let's go. I think to me that what I'm going to look for is when he has to move, I'm going to see if he can run away from Hendrickson. Can he run away from Hubbard? Can he run away from DJ Wright? I mean, the last time they played him in that championship game and in Cincinnati, they did a really good job of rushing him. Those tackles for Kansas City had a hard time blocking. And Mahomes, their speed at end gave Mahomes some trouble, you know, and he was able to make plays. You know, last week against Tennessee, I thought their speed at the edges would give him some trouble. The problem was Mike Caldwell was dropping some of those ends in his zone dog, so he didn't have, you know, we were losing them. But I think that that's going to be the key. Can he run away from people, and can he create movement in terms of buying more time? That's one. Two, his mechanics. He'll adjust his arm on – if he can't plant off the front back foot, he'll plant off the front foot. He'll figure out a way to throw the football – the best way, kind of like how Tiger Woods figured out how a way to finish the U.S. Open in San Diego on one leg. He'll figure it out.
And for those of you scoring at home, yes, that was a subtle dig at Joel Embiid. I move on.
No, I mean, you take whoever you want, whoever you think that fits that personality. Just decide it. You know, you do whatever you like to do.
I'm going to be I'm going to be racked with guilt because I said something about McCarthy eating well in Dallas. That's going to crush
We're
me.
We're all eating well. I mean, you know, it's hard.
Yeah. So your coordinator battle, I love this one with Gannon and Shanahan in the Lombardi look ahead. We'll discuss that further, but let's first hear from Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon on defending the 49ers.
Schematically, they get the balls to guys in space, and then they have the guys that are touching the ball. Those are their, you know, part of their unique skill sets where they can break tackles, they can run away from people, they can make people miss in space. And I'm not just talking about one or two guys, it's really everybody that's touching the ball. So I think it's a good job by Kyle. He knows how to get guys in space, and then he uses those, and then those guys have unique skill sets. That's why they're, you know, a really good offense is they got playmakers. And so we're going to have to do a good job with those guys because sometimes guys are going to have help, sometimes they won't, but depending on the call. So that will be definitely a key to victory for us is tackling.
Your next head coach of the Houston Texans, Jonathan Gannon, your thoughts?
Probably. But he's right, though. Tackle the talent is the number one point of emphasis for him for the week. Got to tackle the talent. It's hard. It's easy to write it on a blackboard and say tackle the talent. It's another thing, you got to be able to be in position and tackle it. And you've got to be able to make those plays, and you've got to be able to get them on the ground, because every yard that you give up when they have the ball in their hands takes less pressure off of Purdy, right? So, you know, when Purdy throws a short pass and goes for 20 yards, I mean, that, you know, all of a sudden we keep – when's Purdy going to fall apart? Well, he's not going to fall apart when he keeps throwing short passes that go for 20 yards. So, and I'm not saying Purdy is going to fall apart. I'm just saying that's the way Kyle set it up. I think to me, I really think this. When I was writing this morning, I thought if I were Nick Sirianni or Jonathan Gannon, about week 10 of the season, I would have figured out, and I did it, I thought I wrote about it in like week 5 of the season, there was really only one team that was going to give the Eagles trouble that was going to be a problem, and that was San Francisco. So I would have probably spent at least Friday afternoon of every week going back to week 9 or week 10, spending time studying San Francisco, like understanding who they are, understanding how they do things, really kind of not honing in on them, but studying them a little bit. And then once we knew we were in and probably were going to be the one seed, really spend an afternoon on Friday or Saturday morning before the game, really kind of getting immersed into them and kind of formulating your ideas and coming up with some way, how would we attack them if we played them? And I think that's what all great coaches should do. They should have a be able to operate with three things working at the same time. And so I think they've done this. And then the bye week, I'm sure they probably spent all their time on San Francisco. I don't think they were worried about the Giants. I don't think they were worried about Minnesota. I don't think they were worried. They were worried about Dallas, who they know, and they were worried about San Francisco, who they don't know. And I think that you'll see a little bit of that game plan early in the game from Philadelphia. I think you'll see whatever that study project they did, however they felt like they need to attack, especially from Gannon's standpoint, I think you'll see that on Sunday afternoon.
We can show the graphic there because I like the kind of back to the future graphic look ahead, the Lombardi look ahead coordinator battle, Jonathan Gannon versus Kyle Shanahan. You mentioned Gannon's the favorite to become the Texans. Now, outside of calling a good defense, do we know anything about Gannon's personality as to why it would lend him to potentially be a good head coach?
That's actually one of the first times I've ever heard him talk.
Me too.
To be honest with you.
Me too.
I've never really heard him talk before. I don't watch much Philadelphia local television because that could cause you problems. But anyway, so I don't do that. I don't watch ESPN, which could cause you problems. And so anyway, I've never really heard him talk. So I thought he was really good in that. I thought he was very clear. He was succinct. The other part I like to make here is one of the things that Kennedy did when he took office in 1961 was he Harold Macmillan was the former prime minister of Great Britain, and he relied on him for a lot of help and experience, even though he wasn't an American and he didn't live in the country. And so I think that that story is so compelling when you find somebody with experience that you can call. Kyle has such an advantage because his dad should be in the Hall of Fame, one of the best play callers in football, one of the best play designers in all of football. His dad is, even though he hasn't coached since 13, has probably watched a lot of tape because I'm sure that's all Mike, you know, Mike's going to play golf, you know, eat at his restaurant and watch tape. So I'm sure he's getting ideas on how best suited that they can do different things from the same looks and what formations might give Gannon. So not only is Gannon, I think, up against Kyle, I think Mike's probably helping too.
How about the humility of Kennedy to call Eisenhower Cuban Missile and literally get advice from the dude he came after, right? There was a lot of that there with Kennedy.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what people that are lifelong learners do. They want to learn. They don't have all the answers. They're the 120 IQ that think they only have 80. Not like somebody who's in Los Angeles who thinks he has 150 IQ, but 180. You figure it, fill in the blank with that one.
Yes, if you're taking score at home, that was a subtle shot at Brandon Staley.
There you go. By the way, we should do that. That should be a segment, Elliot, the subtle shot. You figure it out. Who's behind door number three?
But also, here's for the marketing department. VSIN, we don't cause you problems when you watch. That's from Michael's take on local Philly TV. Dave Ross joins us next here at Lombardi Line.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Lombardi Line, as we welcome you back here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, I believe we're talking rewards. Oh, hell yeah. Wager at BetMGM, earn BetMGM reward points, convert those reward points into free bets, airfare,
You can get it. It's all there. It's the best loyalty program in the game. Go to BetMGM.com. Newly reconfigured app. 21 years or older. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. We're going to welcome in Dave Ross here in just a second. Quickly, though, Michael, I misreported that D'Amico Ryan's potentially to the Denver Broncos. Are you hearing differently now?
Well, I mean, Ian Rapoport just reported that he's going to be a candidate in Houston, too. So, you know, he's a top candidate in two cities. And maybe he's not in – maybe it's not as Denver. You know, who knows? But Denver, if wanted to hire somebody like Sean Payton, they could have done that by now. The other thing is South Point just went to three. That Vinny's a sly devil. He left our studio and he went right to three. Put it right up there, didn't he?
That's why I call him Fred Astaire, because we ask him direct questions,
dancer.
And he dances all around those questions and then leaves the studio and goes to three with the Eagles laying it, hosting the 49ers. Okay. Now, D'Amico Ryan's potentially to the Texans or the Broncos. Number one Cowboys fan, Dave Ross, of course, VSiN host, joins us, half of Big Bets.
Yeah.
What about D'Amico to the Cowboys? Are you satisfied with your head coach there with the Dallas Cowboys, Mr. Ross?
Well, you know, I can't wait to get Michael's take on this too, Patrick. Look, I'm just really happy that Dan Quinn said, I'm staying with Jarrah. The ship isn't that far off the dock here. We're out there in those uncharted waters and trying to figure out a way to get back to at least an NFC title game. I thought it was going to happen last week. It didn't. But really, in all seriousness, I think that's the best news Cowboy fans could hope for, is that Dan Quinn said, I'm staying. So it looks like Kellen Moore, a guy that I think, you know, really Mike McCarthy kind of took over play calling after week one, or at least maybe not fully taking over play calling, but he's going to assist in the room after Dak Prescott got hurt in week one. They went to Cooper Rush. We saw the change in the way they kind of neutered Kellen Moore. I thought that was a good thing. If Kellen Moore doesn't come back to the staff, I'm not going to cry about that. I'm really not that upset with the job that Big Mike's done over the last 2 years with 12 wins in that division, winning the title last year, coming up short this year. I think it's one more time with this go-round. I'm really surprised Dan Quinn did not take another job. So maybe D'Amico Ryans makes sense to Denver if they're looking for defense. It appears that might be the way that they're leaning here. Vic Fangio didn't exactly work out there his time there if they're going to go defense again. But I do look at McCarthy, and I know that he's a punching bag. I know he's an easy target. But I just didn't see it this year. I did not think they were poorly coached. I thought they were well coached, actually. And I thought, actually, they did a better job when Dak Prescott went down and you saw how the offense changed there. And then maybe again, they gave a little bit too much to Dak once he came back from that thumb injury. And maybe he wasn't, you know, full go 100%. He never seemed like the same guy coming off that injury. But Michael, from my standing, you know, if it's Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn, I'll figure out who the OC is, because I really know Mike. That's why he was brought over from Green Bay, was to call the plays. And initially they loved Kellen Moore so much. If you remember in the contract, it was Kellen Moore still gets to call plays. Mike is kind of the overseer. I think that's changed, at least the narrative has, over the last 2 years.
Well, I think it's changed because of Dak Prescott, because they haven't gotten – I mean, the job of the offense coordinator, like Kyle Shanahan, is to make the quarterback look really good. And, you know, and you can blame Dak all you want, but Jerry paid Dak. You can't get rid of Dak. So I think where Kellen Moore's star has dwindled – in D-Town is because of that, because of the way that Dak has played and the way that they have not been able to get players the ball that they need to get the ball to. I think your next coordinator will be Brian Schottenheimer. Mm. And I think it'll be more of the McCarthy offense, but they're meeting today to make that decision. So, you know, you and Femi and John Goulet, you probably all need to gather around and see how it goes. But, you know, once you get past – it's funny. McCarthy's won 12 games. The people treat him like he's Dave Campo.
I mean,
they treat him like he's Dave Campo, Patrick.
I don't get it.
I was going to ask, do Dave Goulet and Femi, do you guys have brainstorming meetings during the week?
They have meetings once a week.
Cowboys?
Yeah. They have meetings once a week. They all have Tua tickets for MVP. They won't admit it. They all have Tua. It's a secret coalition that they have there.
Don't bunch Dave into that. Dave, you don't have a Tua future, do you?
I do not have a Tua future. I did. I saw those doctored videos in the spring, and I went, wow, he's throwing the ball 80 yards. Remember all that? They're putting it up on social media. Like, whoa.
They were fair catching them, too. They were fair catching them down the field. Yeah.
Yeah, those were lollipops.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. I mean, but this is the time of year, right?
The infield fly rule went into effect when we saw those things.
Right, because I think Miami's got the similar type questions of, like, are they close? if Tua is healthy, do you bring him back? Or do they really look at it like, hey, if he doesn't get hurt, they're a playoff team in the AFC? Those are the type of decisions a lot of these teams that are either out early in the postseason like Minnesota and Dallas, or teams that didn't make the postseason like a Miami, have to really ask themselves. Because if you go down the same road again, I know I've got a lot of friends back home in D.C. that are Commander fans or former Redskin fans, and they just text me and they go, I hope you guys keep Mike forever. Because they think like the Cowboys are not close. So I think there really is, depending on who you talk to, are they close? Are they not close? That's the decision Jerry Jones has to make to figure out if he wants to bring back Kellen Moore and if Mike McCarthy's on a one-year trial run after this year.
Can we confirm, by the way, we've gone to three there at the South Point? Dave, I don't know if you can see the board. We have gone to three because I'm looking at most shops right now. Michael, Dave Ross joining us here on the Lombardi line. I'm seeing most 2.5 now. The juice is pointing towards three. Dave, you are confirming the South Point has gone to three with Philly laying it?
Yeah, you're right. Vinny has moved it up to three. My eyes lit up on that because we saw the look ahead before the games last week in the divisional round, and San Francisco theoretically is a 1-point favorite on the road against Philly. And now that's gone all the way to three here at South Point, so there's a 4-point swing. That feels rather drastic. Look, I mean, we all saw how physical that game was against the Cowboys last week. And, you know, Debo is not practicing and Elijah Mitchell and Christian McCaffrey. They're all going to go. We know that. But, yeah, they've missed practice this week. And I think it's that physical toll of the nature of that game last week. But I'm surprised this has gotten to three here. And I don't think, obviously, it's going to get past this. Maybe it gets bumped back down to 2.5. But this is more of a pick 'em to me. I mean, Jalen Hurts didn't have to do anything in that Giants game at all. I got to think that D'Amico Ryan's defense at least gets some bodies on Jalen Hurts. And, you know, hey, it's football. If the guy's got a bad wing, you want to find out how bad it is. I got to think they hit him and see if he can beat them in the pass game and try to take away him as the extra guy, as an extra runner in the box.
Yeah, I definitely think I think he's going to come out throwing. I really think this is going to be a game where Hurts is going to throw it. Because, look, the one thing the Eagles have shown me all year is they are game specific based on their opponent. They don't try to force their offense down to somebody else. So when they play Tennessee, they throw it because they know they can't run it. It doesn't, I mean, I'm not saying they're not going to run it, but I think they're going to try to get the lead and then make Brock Purdy have to play from behind.
And that's what they did last week against the Giants. When they won the coin toss, went right down the field 7-0, I went, well, this game's over. I mean, the Eagles do that in that first drive. They're so quick to put people back on their heels. I would assume, I don't know, if they win the toss, maybe they take it again and try to do the same pressure and make Purdy play from behind. I would if I was Nick Sirianni. I also didn't expect him to be blasting Creed at practice today. So, you know, can you take me higher? We'll find out if the Eagles can get one step closer to the Super Bowl. If they lose, they're going to point to Sirianni playing Creed as a bad omen. Social media is all abuzz about it.
Yeah.
We don't take Scott Stapp slander on this show, Dave Ross. We don't. If you want to take a guess, shout to Christian Rock, by the way, on a Friday. If you want to take a guess on Cincinnati, Kansas City, we've talked about the roller coaster ride of this number. We got all the way up to 2.5 on Tuesday with Cincinnati. We're now 1.5 because of the ankle news on Kansas City. What's your best guess? Where do you think we end up closing here on Sunday?
I think it's going to be right around 2 with Kansas City, which is, again, 4.5 points swing from Bengals being as high as 2.5. I love it at 1.5. I've already played the Bengals in a teaser up to 7.5 with the Niners at 8.5. I didn't even get the best of getting to the 9 here at South Point. But I'll take over a touchdown with these teams on the road. I played all 4 road dogs last week, went 2-2 with that, thought the Cowboys should have covered, was looking at a 3-1. I like the dogs again in this one. So if you're going to give me those, I'll tease them up over a touchdown and hope that at least it's a one-score game. I think these games are going to be very competitive, very close. So I'll take over a touchdown if that's what the books are going to give me with a 6-point tease.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, look, it's always hard. These teases, I tried one last week. I got crushed because the Giants couldn't even hold it to 14 points, and I knew that was over with early. So good luck. I mean, look, I think we got 2 great games, and I'm hoping that they come out the same way that we've handicapped them. But I do think the one game, I know San Francisco is not a play-from-behind team. The other 3 teams could play from behind.
Right. The Bengals have shown that, right? They did this last year in the title game, getting way down at halftime. They've done a great job defensively. I think it's just they're 2 really tight games. So if you're going to give me close to a field goal on the road with both these teams, I'll take the dogs.
Dave Ross, a.k.a. Mike McCarthy's agent, Yeah. Coming up next. that was a great sell job. That was a great job you did with Mike McCarthy.
He did not endorse Joystick, though. That's interesting.
No. Dave Ross is out on Kellen Moore. That was the vibe I got as well. Ross and Shaw coming up next on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate you very much. And thank you for talking about Creed on the show. Tomorrow, Michael, I'll see you early, okay?
Thank you. Thanks,
Michael
Dave.
Lombardi.
Thanks, Elliot.
Lombardi Line Saturday and Sunday. Elliot, thank you. Everybody, thank you. Big Bets is next.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.